This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. Of course, we've got the sports to get into, some Brian Cashman quotes, the NFL trade deadline, and getting ready for a couple of games for the Jets and Giants that mean things in different ways for them as we get closer to the weekend. But of course, when you wake up on a Wednesday after an election day, and that's always going to be history in our lifetime, and we had more of that last night into this morning, and we usually joke about how 10:01 things generally happen, news breaks, and even though most people overnight understood what was going to happen and where this election was trending, it was just a few minutes ago, actually about 25 minutes ago, where the AP and the New York Times called the election for Donald Trump. So he is going to be the 45th and the 47th president of the United States. And you know, something we talked about, I don't know if we talked about on the air or off the air, maybe both, about how after what we saw in 2016, how could you really believe any of the polling in these future elections? And here we are again. Oh, it's close. It's close. It's margin. It's margin. It's thin. It's hair. It's this. It's whatever. I mean, and this was not close at all. And there were some really shocking numbers within cities, some areas that were always blue, that even in states where he lost, he did very well. So this was a statement last night for the country. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. You know, I'm tired. I'm like everybody else. I stayed up. I watched it all the way until about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then shut my eyes, and I woke up and got here.
Three?
So it was crazy. I mean, I love this kind of stuff, and I'm involved in all of it. And in terms of just wanting to know what people around the country are thinking about. And I was watching my buddy Bill Hemmer in front of all these different graphics. I was like, my head was spinning. Mm. I mean, he was in front of everything. I mean, in front of the map. He was in front of, these AI generated some sort of graphics on the screen. I mean, Fox. And then I wanted to, you know, check around. I want to see what CNN was saying, what MSNBC was saying. Like, you know, so you see it. You know, I'm not gloating this morning, but I will say this. I am very happy. I'm very happy for four reasons. They're my four grandkids. That's why I'm happy. I'm happy that, you know, that I believe that we will get back on track and it will be good for everyone. When the economy is good, we all win. Every single one of us win. When the mortgage rates go down, interest rates go down, we as the American population win. And I think that there is a, you know, that we got away from ourselves these last 3.5 years. And I would say that here in New York, it's probably still getting away from us in a lot of different ways, as we have a mayor getting ready to go on a corruption trial and a number of things happening here within the city. But, you know, watching this, and if the Republicans, and I'm an independent, by the way, I'm a registered independent, but if the Republicans do win the House of Representatives, then it will be a clear ass-kicking landslide, and it will be America sending a message that we want to get back to what we believe our American values are, and that is freedom and liberty and an opportunity for everyone, not just a certain segment of the population, but for everyone. So I feel fulfilled this morning. I feel happy this morning, but I also know that we have certain issues here in New York that were voted on that didn't go the way that I would have liked them to go. But, you know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to have to accept it if I want to live here, and I'm going to have to, you know, listen to people supporting different programs that I don't certainly believe in. But on the federal level, on the national level, this was a resounding victory, and it really, truly was. You know, and if I were a Democrat, the first thing I would do is I would think about, man, we got to think about our messaging and what the hell we're talking about and what we're trying to shove down the throats of Americans who don't want to stand for it anymore. So, like I said, I don't want to gloat, but I certainly am fulfilled and happy that it turned out the way it did.
Yeah, and of course, I'm no political science expert, but just watching the people on all the networks yesterday and consuming it like everybody else in our listening audience did, it seemed like those who really have followed this and all the campaigns and what both parties were hammering, it seemed like the economy and the border were two things that were underestimated by the Democrats and the Harris campaign, where they would talk about it, but they wouldn't talk about it in the way that Donald Trump would. And that was probably the difference. Now, there was one thing, and I bounced around too. There was something that was interesting with polling. So I don't know if you'd watch each network. You know, I saw a little bit of CNN. I saw a little bit of regular NBC News. I watched Fox News, and Fox had done a poll, but it wasn't like exit polling of who you voted for. They did an exit poll with 130,000 voters just on what was the most important thing to you.
Depending on who you were.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
like, man, woman, Hispanic, black, white, Asian, yes.
Yeah,
breaking
so,
it all down as tightly as they could.
And the reason why they did that was because of what I said earlier about how some of this polling and the things that we have seen are just so inaccurate when it comes to actual election day. So they were saying, wait, what if we did it this way? And actually, that's exactly the way it turned out. Like, the issues that people were saying were concerning to them were the ones that on the Donald Trump campaign were the bigger issues. And it turned out that way. I mean, and it's fascinating to see some of the counties and some of the areas within cities where, even though maybe he lost Illinois, but still, if you look at Chicago, you saw how many more people came out and voted red there. It was definitely a statement, and you know, we are insanely divided. But I know both you and I, if it had gone the other way, would sit here and say, okay, maybe it didn't go the way you wanted it to, but we've got to support. We've got to continue to try to be together. We are one, you know?
Well, we are the greatest country on earth.
Right.
So,
what I just hope, just to finish the statement, that's what I just hope people who are angry today or upset, like, listen, man, like, what are we going to do? We're going to sit here and hate each other forever? Like, it's just, let's just try to everybody, whether you're happy or not happy, think positively about the next 4 years, and then maybe you'd be in a better financial situation personally.
I think you will
in the
be.
Next 4 years.
I think you will be, and the reason I say that is just simply because of the people that Donald Trump this time around has surrounded himself with. And, you know, I would just say that the biggest mover in this whole thing was Elon Musk and what he did with X. And if it wasn't for that, and if it wasn't for, you know, some would say some of it is disinformation, but a lot of it is accurate information. And he is a free speech advocate, and he wants people out there talking about uncomfortable things. And if it weren't for him, there's no way Donald Trump is sitting here today. The other one I would also say is that when you start to reach out across the aisle to other people that have been disenfranchised by the party that they had been so tied to for so long, like an RFK or a Tulsi Gabbard or any of these people, look, they're all political animals. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, from the outside, most of us that have a reasonable sense about what's going on, look at that and say, okay, that is quite the array of different types of people that have different aspects of their political thoughts that want to make America better, healthier, and if you want to use the word greater, fine. You could use that if you want. But I think that this group of people is going to change the course of American history. And this election, especially at the federal level, tells you all you need to know about how America feels. The blue wall, and we here live in a deeply blue liberal state. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I both live on Long Island. That may be red.
Well, Suffolk County especially. Yeah.
Right. And I do think that, you know, Proposition 1 here, I voted against it. I didn't like it. I don't like the Trojan horse aspect of it. And we're going to have to deal with that when certain issues pop up. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this adversely affects people. But I will say that maybe that prop was put on the ballot because of what Bruce Blakeman did in Nassau County when it came to transgender athletes on county land. Mm. So I think this was obviously a reaction to that. At least that's the way I see it. I may be wrong, but I feel that way about it. But all I know is that at the end of the day, if the economy is humming, that means it benefits everybody. Everybody. And, yeah. that's whether you're Democrat, Republican, independent like I am, that's a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, I think just from my own sense of how things went, I think that for the people that maybe didn't vote for Trump or voted for Biden or didn't vote in 2020 and then came out for Donald Trump this time, you know, the people that maybe switched, because obviously a lot of people did. Like a lot of people, if you look at the numbers all over the country, there were people who changed their mind.
Got sold a bill of goods and they didn't like it. The reaction to it.
Right. So, I mean, it was like, oh, you know, this guy and his mean tweets and he's nasty and he's rude and this and that. And we're going to go this way. And then when, you know, the interest rates go from the historic lows to the highest we've seen since the 70s. When you go to the grocery store and you're like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? When you see two wars have, they're like, okay, you know, we gave you a shot and this is what you did with it. So now I'm looking back at the 4 years that he was here and his mean tweets and his rude press conferences are a hell of a lot better than the fact that I'm looking at my bank account getting drained every 5 seconds.
I look at inflation, which is the economy, number one thing. It affects, like I said, all of us. And when energy prices go through the roof, guess what? We all pay for it in some way, shape, or form, whether it be through higher prices, higher taxes because of those higher prices. You know, the people that, are making ends meet just barely, or those who can't make ends meet. I mean, you can't even imagine what their lives are like. It's, you know, like our foundation tries to help CF families that can't make ends meet. You know, we try to stay in our lane, do what we can do for CF families when they struggle. And, you know, there's been a lot of struggle over the last 4 years. And there always will be struggle with them just simply because of the medical costs. But the fact is that you have to be practical about this and look at it from an economy standpoint. As Bill Clinton once said, it's the economy, stupid. And he was right. And I think this is exactly what's going on. That, the border, some of these woke DEI things that are out there that people just do not, they don't feel like it's fair. And I think America spoke, and they spoke loudly. Now the question is will they be able to hold the House of Representatives? If the Republicans do that, then I think that Donald Trump has 2 years to really invoke a lot of change and see if he can get this economy humming again. If they don't win the House of Representatives, you know, people like Jamie Raskin and people like that are going to be all over him. And they're going to feel like they're empowered to stop him from doing things that he wants to do. So there's still a lot of question marks and a lot of things that are left to be said before he gets sworn in, or answered, I should say, before he gets sworn in. And it's going to be a wild next month and a half.
Absolutely. And I know how things got out of control with the polling in 2016. A lot of people look back at that and what was wrong, and, you know, how come people didn't see the Trump victory coming then. What I can't understand, though, is after having gone through that in 2016 and the polling being so wrong, that once again the same thing happened. Like how could you be so wrong? Like, at every one of these expert electoral maps, I didn't see one of them that had Donald Trump winning both Wisconsin and Michigan. and then getting that close in Virginia, by the way. You know, it was like, okay, you know, he'll probably get Georgia, he'll get North Carolina, it'll come down to Pennsylvania. I didn't see one that had Wisconsin and Michigan going his way on any network. I mean, and he took those. I mean, it's like, why would you believe in the future any pre-election poll ever again?
I'll tell you what, believe to me, I was following on X, and I was following the gambling sites.
Well, yeah.
The gambling sites are like more accurate than anything else.
Yes, but at the same time, all right, I agree, and that's why I sent both you guys that a couple days ago with the the lines, but at the same time, the gambling sites reacted to one of the most BS things that had been out there in the last couple of days with that Des Moines Register, Iowa poll, where they're like, oh, she's leading by X amount of points. And then the gambling lines actually, you know, came back down in her favor because of that. And that was that couldn't have been more of a hoax.
I didn't get rid of that newspaper. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, and that's the other thing, too, is that how we consume news, how the way news is delivered to us and where we get our news from, you know, and everybody's different. Everybody has their favorite, you know, political pundit. Everybody has their favorite TV show. Everybody has their favorite newspaper or website to go to and try to find out. I'll tell you, this Elon Musk impact in this is enormous. It is enormous. He now is got to be the most famous person in the world if Donald Trump isn't. It's just simply because the interactions on X last night exceeded 6 billion. 6 billion interactions on X, a company that he owns and he bought, and exposed the Twitter files.
Hi, my name is Boomer, and I love Musk.
I do, actually. You know, I do. I think he's bright. And one of the things that if Donald Trump can live up to like half of what he's promised, that's going to be interesting. But one of the things he promised is a government accountability office, and he wants Elon Musk to run that. And he's going to look at this bureaucracy and go, what the F are we doing here? How much money are we spending on things that make absolutely no sense? And that, and I think that's something that the people who voted for this change, that is a big aspect to the vote. I mean, I want to see it. There's so much bureaucracy. There's so much, and I don't even get into the deep state aspect of it. I'm just saying there's so many levels of regulations. You can't get anything done.
Yeah, but you're right. And there's a lot of things that were probably never going to change in that regard. But, you know, one thing remains is the fact that when you get an opportunity in this country to go out and vote and you get your voice heard, sometimes the country sends very, very loud and decisive messages, and that happened last night and yesterday. It really did. And no matter what side you're on, no matter what sign you put on your lawn, if you're sitting here this morning and not agreeing with that statement, meaning that the country told the world what's going on, then you're in denial.
It's interesting. I do know people that are on the transition team for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did not have a transition team this early when he became the 45th president, and they raised money to put this transition team in place because they really felt in their heart that they were going to win. And this transition team is a group of people that are extremely successful, and they want to make sure that when they hit the ground, in January, that they hit the ground running and that they start immediately changing things for the better for everybody. And that is something that he didn't do the last time. You know, I think the last time he was shocked that he won. This time, there's still a lot of hurdles that they got to get through and get over. But the transition team is put together. They're interviewing people. I think that they feel like they have a really good handle on who their cabinet's going to be. And with the majority in the Senate, they'll have no problem getting their cabinet members through when they go through all their because, you know, That's another way that you can like stall some of the things that the president wants to do. Now he also has the executive order power, much like we saw, you know, President Biden use his when he got into office. We'll see Donald Trump use his as well. don't really like a lot of that stuff, but unfortunately that's the way it has to go, and that's the way it's gone the last like four or five cycles. But I would just say, I just feel this morning like there is an air of positivity around most of us, not all of us, but I do think it's going to be good for everybody, and I certainly believe that through the economy.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here with us. It's another unseasonably warm day out there today, which is awesome. It's just I can't get enough of this stuff. And I hope that it lasts as long as possible. But yes, Jerry is here. I was just stalling because it looked like he needed a little bit of time. Okay, so what's going on there, Jerry?
Thank you. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, aside from what you guys are discussing, you've got the baseball GM meetings in San Antonio. We got some NFL stuff. Other than that, not a whole hell of a lot. I'll give you Brian Cashman, just because obviously Juan Soto is the big story this offseason. The obvious question and answer. Yeah, of course we want to get the guy back.
We certainly have an interest in retaining him, and we'll put our best foot forward there. But at the same time, you know, that'll either lead to us retaining him and signing him back, or you know, we'll be forced to go to a different direction if we can.
Here we go again. Another full off season of
Yeah, kind of. But with that answer, the name Pete Alonso then comes up.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, if they don't get Soto, so did you mention him? We're talking about Scott Boras, obviously.
Yeah, sure he did. So there's a lot of high quality players in this marketplace, and certainly Pete did an amazing job with the Mets, and so. So I had a brief conversation with Scott about a lot of his, he has a lot of free agents, that's which is normal, and Pete's one of them. So yes.
So yes, they did discuss. Now, in terms of David Stearns and the Mets and really free agency, Al was asking me like when we think the Soto thing will happen. Who knows? As Stearns says, baseball free agency takes time.
I think the stages were one day in, maybe half a day in. And look, we've had conversations, we're going to continue to have conversations. Tough for me to say exactly where we are.
When did Shohei Ohtani sign with the Dodgers last year?
Was it? It's a good question. I don't
just
know.
Just Google it.
All right, just relax. Will you please? It was after Christmas, right?
Don't was it really?
I feel like it was. I feel like
December 11th.
Oh, it was December 11th. All right, so it was before Christmas. So I feel like the big signings probably happened before Christmas, like the Christmas present. For the fan base.
So it used to be, yeah.
That's what it used to be, right?
That's exactly right. A little Christmas tree under the tree you used to hear Mike and Chris talk about.
Christmas present under the tree.
That's right.
Yeah.
What are Met fans or Yankee fans going to open up? Here was, I thought this was a refreshing clip in terms of.
Refreshing?
Yes.
In refreshing.
Terms of, just one example to the contrary of that, though. So Manny Machado, his first deal, I have to find the Bryce Harper one, but his first deal that he signed, not the extension he just signed, but back in 2019 when he was a free agent at the age of 26. He didn't sign until February 19th.
Wow.
Right. I think Bryce Harper, that was that one year when Bryce came out where nobody was moving. You remember that? Like there felt like there was
seems collusion. Like there's been a lot more of that lately.
That was February.
That was Bryce Harper too?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, you got recent examples of big free agents taking a long time. And that was actually February 28th. That was later along than even Manny Machado's contract.
And how old was Harper when he signed
that? He was 26.
He was 26 when he signed the Phillies.
And so was Manny Machado.
At some point, I know how good Soto is. Soto, so funny. At some point, don't they got to look at me like, this guy going to make double what I make?
It's exactly
double the player I am.
Well, that's what I'm saying about the Yankees. I mean, you have the MVP on the Yankees, the presumptive MVP on the Yankees, and you're going to pay him twice as much?
Well, that's what we said yesterday when we were talking about the contract and what Bryce Harper makes AAV-wise, and we're talking 5 years later, and the guy's going to get more than double per year?
Well, we're paying twice as much for eggs, so...
Okay. Here's Dana Brown.
Well, that's about to change.
I bring this up.
We'll see.
I bring this up because you mentioned this guy for maybe the Mets or the Yankees, Alex Bregman. Well, the Astros are dealing with him as a free agent, and much like the Yankees wanting to retain Soto, here's Dana Brown, the Astros GM.
We'd love for him to stay here. We feel like, you know, there's a good chance we're going to get something done. And so the conversations back and forth with Scott have been quite interesting, so we're optimistic.
How does Scott Boras keep it straight?
Yeah, I don't know, but I will say this, that Houston definitely has the advantage with Texas no state tax. Definitely an advantage for them, Jerry.
We know it's an advantage. We have heard players actually say that now since you brought that up, yes.
1,000 times. That is very true. I'm going to keep doing it, too. Sorry.
All right, NFL trade deadline. The Jets sending Mike Williams to the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers was on McAfee when all this happened. His thoughts on Williams?
You know, Mike's a good guy. He'll be good in that locker room. Obviously, got a lot of great veteran leadership. He's had a nice career. And sometimes change of scenery is great for great for certain guys. I mean, she was great for me. It was fun. Kind of get re-enthused.
And now he can go play for Mike Tomlin. He says, not a shock.
Re-enthused? What?
Yeah, I guess he wasn't enthused here. I mean, he hated
I thought
Williams.
He was talking about Aaron Rodgers. Because at the end he says, it's been great for me. I thought he meant he's been re-enthused by being here.
But he was saying that Mike Williams will be re-enthused he was.
Yeah, okay. True.
So, I mean.
Well, I mean, eventually this was going to happen. I think we all felt that way as soon as Davante Adams was here. And I guess the Jets were just holding out to see what they could get for him. And a fifth-round pick ain't bad.
Well, there's two things that happened. Davante Adams got traded here, and Aaron Rodgers blowtorched.
Mike Williams. Yes. Yeah, we know that.
Publicly.
Very true. Yeah. No reason to play the other Rodgers one because he said exactly what you just said. So there you have it. The Giants did not make a deal, but they released punter Matt Hawk and cornerback Nick McCloud. Here was Jermaine Illuminor with BT and Sal.
Oh, they just basically cut both of those.
Yes. Incorrect. Here was Illuminor. So what is the issue with this team? Because they don't win a lot of games. Although they seem to be in them, they don't finish them.
This team is just a young team. And, you know, Burns said it best. I think that we just have a lot growing up to do. A lot of maturing.
And he says that part of the game is on us.
Once you get to the NFL, the thing that you have to learn is, now that you're here, you can't, just because you're a rookie or you're a second-year guy, you're a third-year guy, or a fourth-year guy, yeah, you're young. But in NFL years, you have to grow up.
And they haven't done that quick enough. And CBS Sports Network is showing the Commanders and the Giants. The Commanders, according to many, a very sought-after team that players want to play for.
Well, Marshawn Lattimore is going there now.
He is.
Good trade for them. He got them from the New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
Saints feel like, you know, every year they have salary cap constraints and all sorts of messes because they keep pushing it down the road. So maybe the Saints... We're going to start anew here. I'm surprised they didn't trade more guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, there was certainly movement, but it was not a crazy day in the league. We did find out that the Cowboys are putting Dak Prescott on injured reserve, which we know. So Cooper Rush will be the quarterback. Ugh. I figure you would love this.
They got a new wide receiver, too.
Mingo. Jerry Jones was asked on The Fan in Dallas, could you give Trey Lance a start here down the road?
Let's just don't dismiss the possibility of doing anything. And the going with has a past tense aspect to it that I wouldn't recognize. It's not impossible to incorporate some of the skills that we might get from both quarterbacks.
I don't know what they are going to do going forward, but I will have more on Dak next hour because a former NFL player used the word blowtorched.
Yes.
Blowtorched him yesterday. I just got to edit it, so I will have that for you next hour.
What are we going to see on Thanksgiving? Cooper Rush
against
Trey
the Giants?
Lance against Tommy DeVito, maybe?
It's
possible, yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is basically
you choke on your stuffing.
It's too bad they can't flex that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
We're not the Lions have been crappy for years. We always watch them on Thanksgiving.
We do. That's
once
true.
In a while, you got to watch the crappy
by
Cowboys.
By the way, you never know. Maybe a great game.
It could be, and the Cowboys could win some games here. Maybe the Giants turn things around here. Who knows?
You can't even get through
around.
That.
I don't know. It's like turn around a battleship.
I don't know. What can I tell you?
I
mentioned how far the Commanders have risen in the way people look at them. How about how far the Raiders have fallen? This was Chad Ochocinco on the Nightcap podcast. As he and Shannon were discussing, Shannon asked him the three teams that the players don't want to play for at this point.
Carolina first, and then Cleveland, after Cleveland, the Raiders.
The silver and black.
I don't know, Vegas. People want to go to Vegas. They just need to button it up out there. They need to clean house. Telesco will clean house, and they'll start over the new coach, and they'll have hopefully a high draft pick where they'll be able to get their quarterback of the future. But they hired Norv Turner, brought him in.
Yeah,
nice fresh look at things. Jesus.
I mean, what's wrong with being 70? What's going to be like, you know, a fresh set of eyes?
Yeah, I
and
get
plus
it.
Plus, his son is on that staff.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is that true?
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's going to be more involved now in the offense.
A little package deal.
What is that in? What's wrong with that? Bring your dad to work day.
There you go. Is he really 70, Norv? I mean, it was just the Cowboys in the mid-90s.
I think he's 72, yeah.
Is he really?
Just Google it.
And wasn't he doing...
What do you want, Al?
Because in a few years, he's going to run for president.
Right, exactly.
Wasn't he doing, or was it Wonstadt that was doing the Fox pre-show?
It was Wonstadt.
It was Wonstadt, okay.
Wonstadt.
NBA tonight, the Knicks back in action. They're 3-3, take on the 3-5 Hawks in Atlanta. The league did suspend Joel Embiid 3 games for the shoving incident with the reporter from last week.
That's unbelievable. Like when you're that big, I mean, to shove a reporter and you only get 3 games?
Yeah, according to the people that were there, it wasn't
more
like
that he put his hand on him.
It was like
so.
Not like a super violent right. shove. It was more like just a hand on the shoulders, like a little quick push.
Right.
So it was like with the level of the shove, it was like a...
Yeah. Listen, you shouldn't be putting your hands on a reporter, but it wasn't like he
didn't shove him into a locker.
Shoved him into a locker.
It wasn't like a 90% shove. It was more like a 10% shove. Is that what you're saying?
Little 10% shrug, yeah.
I mean, putting your hands on a reporter.
I think this was too touchy feeling.
A professional athlete is not the right thing to be doing.
Well, and he would
say. I mean, you know how many times I want to strangle Rich Samini and I never did?
And I think what Embiid was saying.
Or punch Mark Canizaro right in the face and I never did.
You broke Chernoff's ribs and they gave you a raise.
Story. And he gave me a raise, by the way. Yes. And then I wrapped them up in tinfoil.
That's right. That was fun. That was a fun day.
Rutgers plays their season opener against Wagner tonight on the Fan on 6:60 a.m. tonight at 6 o'clock. Excuse me.
Oh, you're on the Fan?
Yeah, the Rutgers basketball this year. Yeah, because of the 880 deal.
Oh,
so Rutgers football and basketball on the radio station now. Yeah, I thought you knew that.
I should have known that. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, or maybe Al didn't tell me.
Al didn't tell you.
No, Al's the producer. He usually tells us things that are going on around here.
That is true. He does do that. And the Islanders with a big win.
Horvat 0-1 this season. Coming in, throws the snow up, and went one hand and tucked it through.
Oh, my goodness. Wait.
And that was the only goal in the shootout as the Islanders win the game 4-3. J.G. Pageau with the game-tying goal in the third.
I got to try that.
Brendan. Are you still playing?
Yes. I got to try this move right here. I think I can do that.
That's pretty good. Brendan Burke with the
call. It take you 30 minutes.
But it take you 30 minutes to get your ass off the ice.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not trying, though.
The Islanders now 5-6-2 with the win.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Phil Sims joining us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. As always, in the Sims spotlight, lots of football to talk about with him. So,
watching the election last night?
Oh, of course he was. I mean, he does look like one of our forefathers, doesn't he? When he really kind of sits there and has got the poofy hair, and you could dress him up like put him in a Benjamin Franklin type getup, and it would make a lot of sense. A ton of fenth.
It really would.
Okay, that's your perspective. I'm not agreeing with that. If Phil is watching right now, that's Gio that just said that.
I'm a little annoyed at this stiff white thing.
See, I'm telling you.
I mean, can't you just see him, though, like with the standing behind some sort of podium with a gavel in 1776?
Tell you one thing, he is from Kentucky. That state comes right in. Boom!
Comes right in, boom, is right.
I don't understand. That's the one thing we were talking about yesterday. So California, New York, Florida, Texas, these are the biggest states, right?
Mm-hmm.
Massachusetts, Illinois. I mean, all these states are able to get their results in Florida, like in record time, like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I think that's because of what happened 24 years ago, right, with the hanging Chad situation, and they actually got their crap together and made sure that never happened again because the rest of the country was making fun of them.
I definitely feel like because it's not the pandemic, it's not 2020, things were a little bit smoother this time around, but still, I mean, a lot of these states, what the hell are they waiting for?
I don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, I think that they count votes in a weird way, some of them. I mean, even though New York and New Jersey are totally different, you know, New Jersey's got the digital pushing of the
right, we got the scantrons.
We got the scantrons and everything else. So
I don't know. My day, man, my voting took basically 2 minutes.
Yeah, mine took 15 when I went early on Sunday. It was done very well, very professional.
Oh, you were an early voter.
I did. I went on Sunday.
I like to vote on election day myself.
Yeah. You know what I did is I looked ahead to the weather, and I was like, you know, it looks like a golf day to me on Tuesday, so let me vote early. And I'm not kidding.
How long did it take you in Jersey?
Mine was very quick where I was at, but there were some places like South Jersey that were 3 hours or more.
Any reason why that is? Is it just because people were waiting until election day to vote? Is that
no?
Why?
Because that down where my sister lives, there were 2 hour waits for early voting, and then 3 hours on actual voting day. I think it was just the number of machines versus the number of people using
right.
a particular place.
And you guys are all the digital stuff, right?
Digital, yeah,
yeah.
So I was in.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy yesterday who was on a long line. He had to go in to teach, and he got up early when the polls opened, and he was on a big long line. But I think most people that I talked to had a pretty easy experience.
What I'm happy about is I don't listen to these stupid political ads anymore. Don't have to watch them anymore. We got this guy, Swazi, running out in Long Island. I guess he probably won because people know him. On his political signs, which are all over Nassau County, says, "Let's fix this." I'm like, who broke it?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I always think about the lawn signs. So if you have a lawn sign up of the loser, you got to take it down immediately. But how long do you gloat with the sign of the winner up on your lawn?
I think you take it all down and we all become Americans again. You know, say, see you, Coach Waltz. Get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? And just go off and just leave.
Yeah. There was some drama with some signs in my neighborhood. I'm curious to see what happens there.
Take the signs down and let's all become Americans again, man. That's what I say. Instead of fighting with each other, let's try to get along.
Yeah, of course, that would be nice, right? But it generally is not the way things have gone.
Hey, I go on these golf trips. I got guys that, you know, are liberal. I got guys that are conservative, you know. But we all play golf together.
That's true.
You know, we may have difference of opinions about different policies, but we all play golf together.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I wanted to bring this up because I saw this on Instagram yesterday, and then Al had it on the show sheet today, and I was going to bring it up. So I guess Tom Brady is listening to his critics.
Uh-oh.
Which is surprising to me. You know what? I don't have a beat on Tom Brady. This is what I have decided. I feel like because Tom Brady's been so in my life for the longest time now that I feel like I know Tom Brady, even though I've never met Tom Brady.
You know him as a football player.
But I just felt like I knew his personality and who he was because of how much he's around. Like, we've seen his personal life, his professional life, all the interviews and everything that he's done. And now he's on Fox and everything else. I don't have a beat on this guy at all. So, one, I never thought that he would want to do broadcasting or be involved in something like that. I was wrong about that. I never thought that he would align himself with a franchise that had a interesting history with the New England Patriots and the Raiders and work for a guy who is as much of a wild card as Mark Davis, and he's doing that. And now also he's being bothered by his critics. So I don't know if this was in response to Skip Bayless saying he was the Daniel Jones of broadcasting, or any number of, you know, Bill Simmons also had some stuff to say about
him. But you got to admit, though, that Fox is over the top with the promotion of him.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, it's in your face every second. So
there's some backlash to that from people, too. That's
what I think, yes.
So he posted this he was holding like a card with a paragraph on it, and it was it's a Teddy Roosevelt quote. He goes, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by the dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming."
You know, that sounds like something Dennis Miller would have said when he was in the booth. You know, when I ran into Dennis Miller after I was fired from Monday Night Football, and we would run into each other on the sidelines of games.
Yeah.
You know, he was very funny. And I never held anything against him. He wasn't...
Well, his fault.
He wasn't advocating for my job. Somebody else was, or somebody else was pushing him, which is fine. But, you know, I actually felt like I had a pretty good relationship with Dennis Miller, for the most part. And, he used to say, man, this is like a car wash. I mean, you go in there and you come out and you're either clean or you are just scuffed up and dirty. And this is where Tom Brady is right now.
Yeah, maybe he's, and not to like get inside of his brain, because clearly I know nothing about the guy, but you know, he's got the whole thing with the Giselle and having a baby with the new boyfriend, and maybe that he was blindsided by that, according to it, and maybe he's just feeling like, you know, he sees criticism out there of him, and maybe he's like feeling a little down about it, and he feels like he's got to respond to the criticism. But I would think if I'm Tom Brady, and I'm the most accomplished football player up until this point who has ever lived.
At the moment, yes. Right? The greatest ever.
I said at this time.
Yes.
The greatest ever. I mean, he's got almost, I mean, what did we say he's probably worth now?
Probably worth $500 million.
Right. You care what Skip Bayless and Bill Simmons are telling him, to saying about
care,
you?
But
really?
This guy here might just take him.
And you're holding the Patrick Mahomes picture up.
The Patrick Mahomes picture right here.
Yeah,
We'll see. I mean, Patrick is a different sort of player than Tom was, but man, they both have ice in their veins. But this guy does it like in so many different ways, and how he plays is just amazing.
Yeah. Did you see that Patrick Mahomes' mom did a pro-Trump video for OutKick? Just makes me think, and the reason why I bring this up is just because obviously you've got the Brittany Mahomes liking of the Trump post. Now you got Patrick Mahomes' mom, and then you got Taylor Swift, who's out there campaigning for Kamala, and they're all in the same box together. Woo! Trouble in paradise.
Now they all got to come together to be on the Chiefs to see if they can go undefeated.
And then you got Mr. Pfizer over there, too.
He's
in the mix.
It's crazy, man.
I don't know, man. You know what we might have here? Something that you always bring up. We might have a Bruin. Maybe
schism.
Yeah, we might have a schism there with the Chiefs.
I don't think so.
Maybe this is the thing. Maybe this will be the thing that sinks that whole dynasty.
No.
Is that you got the Mahomes and the Kelseys on two different sides of the ledgers here.
Those guys love each other, man. And they know. Listen, they need each other to make money on the field. The more successful they're on the field, the more money they'll make off the field.
Yeah.
And believe you me, money talks, BS walks. You know that.
Oh, well, of course. I've heard that before. I do give credit, though, to Patrick Mahomes' mom for going ahead and doing that. And maybe there's a chance that Taylor Swift doesn't like her. Like, you know, a lot of people, like, man, you know, like, I got to curry favor to Taylor Swift because she's the most famous person in the world. And, like, I can't do that because Taylor Swift likes Kamala Harris. I can't be doing, like, supporting my candidate.
No.
And she went out and did it. You know there's a lot of leech spot ass kissers out there.
I know that, yeah.
To be friends with Taylor Swift.
Her baby is the man in the NFL, the face of the NFL, and her daughter-in-law is a Trump supporter. And by the way, Al and Eddie got to know Pat's mom when Pat's mom brought Pat in here.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
She was very attractive.
But she was nice.
MILFs.
Right? Oh, will you stop?
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice. And, you know, Patrick didn't have to come in. All right. Patrick didn't have to come in here. He wasn't promoting anything. She just wanted him to come in here. Am I right?
Yep, that's right.
Which is kind of weird. Like, why? You know, down in Texas, how would they know? I guess they watched us or saw us or listened to us.
I don't know.
Did that booking come about?
It came through Lee Steinberg's office somehow. I don't even know if he's with him, but
they are. He still represents him. Yep.
Yeah. When they were asking, I had to Google him. I was like, who is Patrick Mahomes?
Legitimately,
I have no idea who that was. Right.
This was 2 weeks ago. You had to Google.
Yeah, I mean, and he's won Super Bowls.
No, seriously, he did not know who he was.
Well, I know back then. I'm not surprised, but now obviously he's
well
aware.
But when he walked out of here, we all knew. We all knew. You could tell.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.